And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on? Anything going on tonight?
Just another Tuesday.
Just in America. Another Tuesday.
Just another day that ends in Y.
Yeah. Nothing special about tonight.
Should be interesting.
Should be.
Because the trading deadline's at 3,
That's
everybody.
Right. Yeah, buddy. What a day. What a day. The NFL trading deadline at 3 o'clock. It's a good day.
Yeah, so are the Titans done? Or are they not done? They did something. Some people didn't think they'd do anything.
There were a lot of people that thought they wouldn't do anything. I think our own Chase McCabe said they wouldn't do anything. And I'll be honest, Joe. I thought there was a decent chance that John Robinson didn't do anything just because I wasn't sure what all was really out there that's going to help you all that much. But the Titans make a trade yesterday. They go to the Los Angeles Chargers and acquire Desmond King for a sixth-round pick in 2021. Desmond King, a defensive back. So we talked yesterday, Joe, about maybe pass rush, maybe on the offensive line. Defensive back is the route the Titans chose to go. What's your
reaction to that? Cornerback even,
yeah,
if you want to specify.
Yeah.
Well, like I said yesterday, don't trade for a corner. This is, trade for a offensive tackle or a pass rusher, but
boy.
No, I mean, hey, this is a need too, and especially we don't know about guys coming back and all that. We do know that Jonathan Joseph is a guy who shouldn't play anymore for this team, if you can somehow make that happen. You're talking about an all-pro 2 years ago,
yeah,
that you get for a six-round pick, which sounds pretty great. Of course, it's also a guy who's been disgruntled with the Chargers and has been, a healthy scratch a couple times this year. And so there's some questions about all that around him too, which probably helps explain the price tag a little bit.
Yeah, so an all-pro in 2018 at the nickel position, also second-team all-pro as a punt returner, so maybe helps you in that area too. I mean, I don't know if they're going to move on from Khalif Raymond there or not, but certainly an option there to help you. But this coming from Teron Davenport, King played 248 defensive snaps, posting 24 tackles and a sack this year for the Chargers, so playing just over half of their snaps on defense. So the talent certainly there. He was selected in the fifth round of the 2017 draft, but I guess Anthony Lynn came out yesterday and said, sometimes guys just need a fresh start, and we wish him all the best. Now Desmond King has his fresh start here in Nashville.
See, the interesting thing here is, if he ends up, because he is by trade a nickel, so right now you could have, if you had everything all together, you could have Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Desmond King. But then it also, you look at the second round, and it's like, okay, so is your second round pick? We know the first round pick is doing nothing.
Yeah.
So if the second round pick gets healthy, is that just a depth guy then in a year where you just, I mean, again, I think it's a good move by John Robinson to be able to get a guy of this quality for that price. But it's also, I think that Christian Fulton could have a chance to be a pretty good nickel at some point this year, and you invested a second round pick in him.
Yeah. All of a sudden, potentially not getting anything out of your first three pick. I mean, you're already not getting anything out of your first pick. Darrington Evans, we'll see. Maybe he's healthy and ready to go at some point this season. Christian Fulton at least has played, and has played somewhat consistently, although he's hurt right now. But you're right. I mean, say Desmond King comes in, and he's going to be the guy playing most of the snaps at this position. What do you do with Christian Fulton
I mean, you feel better about your depth, certainly.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll turn out the other way, and maybe it'll turn out that, Fulton really comes on and earns that nickel spot, and King is your depth guy. And again, if that's the case, it's a six-round pick. Anything that leads to Jonathan Joseph not on the field, all due respect to Jonathan Joseph, it's one of those things where you watch and it's just like, yeah, I mean, hey, at some point the game just catches up with you.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's kind of gotten there. So the idea that they wouldn't have to trot him out there, that they wouldn't have to trot out, practice squad guys like they did the other day. They had Breon Borders, Kareem Orr on the field. I mean, it could look very different really soon in that secondary.
And now the question is for Desmond King, when does he make his debut? Can he play on Sunday? I mean, you've got some protocols. you got to go through. Vrabel talked yesterday about, you know, maybe he's able to go Saturday, Sunday. I don't know. There's some hoops you got to jump through there, but I wonder if he'll be ready to play Sunday against Chicago.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that they would be like, hey, welcome to the facility, Desmond Heist, on Saturday, and now
go play.
How about 40 snaps tomorrow? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure that, you know, mentally, obviously they can spend all week with him talking through the defense and the game plan, all that stuff. But are you comfortable having him active and playing? I don't know, maybe. I wouldn't rule anything out, but I guess at this point I would guess he wouldn't play in this game and that he would debut. What's the next game? Oh, the Indy. Colts. Debut, yeah. Against the Colts. Bigger question this week, and it is tied to this. You know, if they have a Dory Jackson this week, you know, then they can go Chris Jackson in the slot, yeah. And they're better. They're flat out much better, you know, in the secondary already. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. And also, what are we looking at here? We're looking at, I'm so bad at math, 9 hours. 9 hours. I tried to find out, you know, yesterday if there were more trades coming, but I did not get an answer, shockingly.
They didn't tell you?
No one.
What they were planning on doing?
No one would tell me if there were more trades coming.
Oh.
I know. Very disappointing.
I am shocked you could not pry that information out of them.
There were five. Tack McKinley said five teams. Is that what he said? He's actually breaking news, which I love this. Players go on Twitter and just say, hey, everybody, the Falcons are not trading me. They've tried. I love that. But that's what he said. He tweeted the Falcons have tried. They're not trading me. I think he said five teams, right? Five teams have inquired.
So do you think the Titans were one of those teams?
I don't
know.
Maybe. I mean, I think.
Put your speculation hat on.
I would hope so for the Titans' sake. I would hope that they inquired on everyone that you could possibly think of who could possibly give you a sack in a season of football, you know? I mean, why not inquire? I would ask about everybody because I still, Desmond King, nice price. You've gotten better. I mean, again, if you have depth where you can have guys like Fulton and Chris Jackson as your reserve guys, that's great. That secondary, however it looks back there, is not going to look great if this pass rush is what it is so far.
Does it leave you worried at all that you get a guy like Desmond King for a sixth-round pick who's still young, who still is not that far removed from being a really, really good player in this league? Does it kind of leave you shaking your head of, okay, why is he available? Why were the Titans able to get him for this price? That's the exact thought I had yesterday when this move was announced.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I think, you know, so I don't know if you guys watch Hard Knocks. I wasn't blown away by the season. I actually haven't liked it that much.
Yeah.
Really, in the last few years, I think they've really locked down on the footage and everything. I think it's just a worse show.
It hasn't been the same since the Rex Ryan Jets.
Well, yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that you're never going to touch
epic.
That one. That was like, I mean, Katie, my wife, was just like, she couldn't wait. She counted the hours every week to that.
When is Hard Knocks coming on? I mean,
it's like me with The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Still haven't watched that yet, by the way.
Well, you need to get on that.
Should have done that last night. So in the course of watching that, though, I really liked Anthony Lynn a lot. Like, I really – you know, again, they just had an awful year of blowing these leads. It's incredible. I think they've blown four double-digit leads this year.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good team. They've blown it. But I like him. Like, he's a very likable guy. And so I'm looking at this whole situation with Desmond King and Anthony Lynn. I'm like, man, like, it seems like he's a pretty fair coach and stuff. But obviously they have issues. I mean, they've had issues. Desmond King has had issues in general with the Chargers, and that's led to – all this stuff that, to me, leads to the price. So maybe it's just new scenery. Sometimes a guy just needs to go to a new place and everything's fine. Or is it that there's a problem with Desmond King? I guess we'll find out. You know, but I think that's the answer to your question.
But also, like, for that price, what does it hurt, really? I mean, if he comes in and it doesn't work out, okay, that's fine. It's a sixth-round pick. And you're in a place right now defensively where you've got to basically try anything at this point. And if he comes in and gives you any sort of production whatsoever, maybe the third down percentage when he gets in there goes from like 62.5 to maybe 57.
Ooh,
something like that.
Imagine.
That's shocking to think about. But if that happens, maybe that makes the difference in a win or two for the Titans.
They could. No, but you're – I mean, it's worth a six-round pick. You got eight picks left. You know, you had nine, you got eight. So, and you have another six-round pick if you really love six-round picks. So,
you big six-round pick guy?
I mean,
Brady
hey,
was taken in the sixth round.
That's he sure was. So,
how many times have we been reminded about that?
Yeah. Brady, by the way, looked a little bit like a six-round pick at times last night.
Oh, yeah. Get that shot in there.
Nah, he was fine, but they did not look – that was a –
that
was
look that good.
It was almost like maybe the most shocking week of NFL football, you think? And like if that would have flipped along
if that
with –
flips?
Yeah, like if the Dolphins blow out the Rams, to me, I know you're down on your Packers, but the Vikings winning that game shocks me still. Titans losing the Bengals, and then if the Giants would have pulled that off last night –
we've been pretty crazy.
Yeah, that would have had to be. Maybe it still is already the craziest week. But, yeah, Brady didn't look – the Bucs did not look like the juggernaut we've been seeing the last couple weeks. I don't know who the best team in the NFC is. I guess Seattle?
I guess. I don't know. It's tough to figure out.
Seattle, which is –
they've all got warts.
Yeah.
All got warts.
No love for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Wow.
Well,
how could we overlook them?
I mean, they have back-to-back wins.
Which
in
that
prime time.
That is a heck of an accomplishment in that division.
Back-to-back
prime
wins. Time wins.
My
That's
goodness.
A good point. Yeah.
Gosh.
How many more primetime games do we have of these guys?
I think
I'd rather watch them.
There's a lot.
I'll tell you guys, though. I mean, look, I wasn't going to watch any of that game last night, and it was pretty good. Like, Daniel Jones was – and I'm watching Deion Lewis make plays. Logan Ryan make plays.
That's how you know 2020 is a screwed-up year when Deion Lewis is making some plays.
That was actually a great touchdown catch.
Yeah.
Pass.
The touchdown catch that he had was better than any play that he ever made.
I was about to say,
Titans.
Where's that been? Where
also,
was that?
It wasn't in Tennessee.
He also got interfered with, and then they threw the flag. And
yeah.
Now, why'd they pick it up?
Because it's Deion Lewis.
Yeah, is that what it is?
I don't know.
Officiating this league, man.
Not good. It's not good.
Like, there are terrible calls all the time that are PI calls in this league.
Yeah.
And – you know, they don't pick up the flag. You made a terrible call. That was actually the right call, and they pick up the flag.
Not much consistency going on from game to game in this league. But maybe Desmond King helps in the secondary, and we don't have to worry about pass interference calls anymore.
That's right.
He's just covering guys so well at the nickel position that you ain't got to worry about it anymore.
Right. It'll just be all incompletions from here for the Titans secondary.
In all seriousness, like from a speed perspective, especially if you get him in there, you get Chris Jackson still in there, and then Adoree comes back. You're in a much better spot speed-wise than you were with Joseph in there. Much better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, Chris Jackson, he runs fine. I mean, the guy who gets exposed is Jonathan Joseph. But, you know, Chris Jackson is also a guy who has – you know, has been beat at times in some situations. I mean, he's a rookie. He's a low-pick rookie. It will be interesting as we move forward, Desmond King, Christian Fulton, and how that is. Because to me, that's probably – it's one or the other once you're healthy, if you are healthy.
Yeah.
You know, we assume they will be at some point, at that nickel spot. But you can't have too many good cornerbacks, and the Titans haven't had enough of them, so –
when we come back, are the Titans done at the trading deadline, or do we expect more moves today from John Robinson? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What were some of the things that stood out to you as far as why you wanted to go out and get him to help this defense?
Well, John and I had talked, and you know, it was a player that we felt like, you know, could help us, that could come in and has played DB, has been disruptive, has been an effective blitzer, and has done some things. And we'll see where he's at when he gets here. He's going to be away from the building for a while, going through protocol. So, you know, we won't know much until, you know, much later on in the week, not even assuming that he'll be able to practice with us before Saturday. So everything that we've heard, that he's a player that loves football, that's competitive, played a number of different spots, played in the kicking game.
That was Titans coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the acquisition of cornerback Desmond King from the Chargers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning. Joe, you heard Vrabel talk about it there. Not sure if Desmond King is going to get in time to play this game against the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asks, who would you want, Joseph knowing the plays or King winging it on Sunday and just relying on his athleticism.
Can I? Is there a C?
Have we reached that point with Joseph?
Can I circle the C in and none of the above?
You were given no option for C.
Well, so if it goes as we think it would go, the question is actually at the nickel, so it's not either or with those two guys.
Yeah.
What you'd want is a Dory Jackson on the field and Jonathan Joseph off the field
right.
on the outside. Start there. And then right now, I think it's a good question of would you rather have Desmond King in this debut right away, boom, get in there, kind of come in the day before and you're out on the field, or Chris Jackson in the slot. I mean, Chris Jackson's had – look, they've all had their struggles. Actually, Chris Jackson had some moments Sunday in Cincinnati where I thought he held his coverage for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like longer than you should ask a guy. So, and he gave up the, you know, the catch because – that's what they do, but I think I might, if given that choice, I might just go with Chris Jackson and say, Desmond, take a week, or, you know, take, hey, look, really, think about Indy right now, because Indy's coming on Thursday, you're here Saturday, short week, we'll get you ready, huge game, Nissan Stadium, under the lights.
So what kind of a player are the Titans getting in Desmond King? Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers for The Athletic, joined Jared and the GM yesterday to offer his perspective. Here's what Daniel Popper had to say.
Hopefully they're getting the player that was a 2018 All-Pro as a nickel corner, a standout player who played well above where he was drafted in the fifth round. The Chargers did not get that player over the last 2 years, and that's ultimately why they made this deal. But there's sort of these other factors at play. Desmond King was inactive for a game last year. It was effectively a suspension for being late to a meeting. Earlier this season, after the Chargers signed Chris Harris to usurp him as their slot corner, he wasn't playing a lot. He was basically only playing on special teams and sporadically on defense. And, you know, he was disappointed and took to Twitter to call out the coaching staff for not playing him more. And then you had a recurring issue with the punctuality this past weekend for Saturday practice. And that was sort of the last straw for this team. You know, and Anthony Lynn said it today, you know, he just needs a fresh start. He's an extremely talented player. But the question is, will you get the commitment and will you get him back in that 2018 form? The Titans certainly are hoping that, you know, a change of scenery will get that player back. But it's really up to Desmond for him to lock in and sort of commit to being that player day in and day out.
So, Joe, when you hear those comments from Daniel Popper about Desmond King, maybe some punctuality issues, going to social media and voicing his displeasure about his lack of playing time, is that a big deal to you? Is that just a case of being in a situation where you're very frustrated and it's water under the bridge now? How concerning would that be to you if you're John Robinson and the Titans?
See, I think I'm certainly not going to dismiss any of that stuff at all, but that sounds like, I mean, looks like some punctuality stuff doesn't freak me out. And a guy ticked off that he gets replaced and calling, you know, going to social media. I mean, it's not great, but it also, like, none of it is huge red flags to me.
Like, it would almost at this point be refreshing to me if Vic Beasley went to social media and started calling out the Titans coaching staff. I'd be like, okay, at least this guy's got a pulse. Like, he cares. This stuff with Desmond King is not a huge deal to me. Like, it just happens nowadays.
Right. Now, the biggest thing of all that is, why did they look to Chris Harris to replace him?
Right.
So, I mean, so, you know, you've got whatever some issues, you know, you want more accountability and things like that. But how is that enough to say, you know what, we'd rather have this guy in there, you go sit down. If he's that talented and that good, you know, doesn't that overcome that?
Yeah,
that's the question to me, is sort of like, what's the balance of his ability and what he does for you on the field and how, I guess, bad it was off the field? I mean, if it's some meetings, okay. If it's like constantly complaining to the coaches and just being like, you know, being a bad voice in the locker room, yeah, that's a little bit more of a big deal. But I do think that what we know of it sounds like a new scenery situation, I think a lot of times does fix things like that.
So with that in mind, you've seen the Titans make this move with Desmond King. Are there more moves that they need to make today, in your opinion? Do you expect John Robinson to be active today up until 3 p.m. Central Time when the trading deadline comes?
Well, I certainly expect him to be active. I mean, I mean, I think it'll be now. Will he actually pull the trigger on something? I don't know. But again, like Tack McKinley, yeah, the Titans better have been one of those teams, you know, because this is a nice addition. This, I look at this and I don't think, well, they're fixed then. They're going to be fixed. Even if Desmond King comes in and is good and is a good slot corner and then Adoree Jackson comes back, that'll help a lot. There's no doubt. That'll take away some of their issues. That'll allow them to do some things in the secondary they haven't been doing, which can to some extent compensate for what you're not doing up front, but that's not changing what you're not doing up front.
Right.
And what you're not doing up front is still going to hang those guys out to dry, even if they're better guys.
So if you're John Robinson, are you looking more at the pass rush right now, or are you going your route and maybe looking towards the tackle position offensively and trying to get some depth there? Because still, I think people, this has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle the last couple weeks. They're one injury away at tackle from having a disaster on their hands up front. What do you think should be the priority as they move forward here today?
I mean, I think that if they can swing two deals, they should, you know. But or again, we talked about this yesterday, even trying someone off someone's practice squad.
Yeah.
That's probably more the pass rusher route. I mean, there are some options. We've talked about Riley Reiff. It's a salary dump situation. Well, I don't know. Do the Vikings feel like they're back in this now after thumping your Packers?
No.
I mean, they've already sent Ngakoue packing, right? So
they're 2-5.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really think that's a potentially big-time answer. And again, no, it's not a knock on Tyson Brailo. I think that's been, well, frankly, that's been one of the best offseason moves that John Robinson had.
Maybe the best.
Was, yeah, getting him. But, well, yeah, like you said, one more injury right now. Some of that is also tied to Isaiah Wilson. How is he trending right now? The coaches know that, obviously, way better than we do at this point. But I think both of those things could be really big today. You can limp along, hope you don't get hurt, and hope Isaiah Wilson comes along. I don't know what your answer is now other than please, guys who are here, play better on the edge. And again, I think Derek Roberson being tried too. But if Vic Beasley is going to continue like this, I think at some point he's just not going to be a factor anymore on Sundays.
Yeah.
So then again, you don't have enough people.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing three anyway every week. You've got three outside linebackers that have been active, and we've talked multiple times. That just doesn't seem like it's enough. You're trying to get Harold Landry's snap count down, and that just has not happened at all this year. Clowney's playing regularly, so at least he's out there. And Vic Beasley, when he is out there, he's not doing anything. So the production that you're getting there is bad. We know that. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. You look at the stats, they are what they are. But eventually, to your point, if Beasley doesn't improve, I mean, there's no point in having him out there. You're going to have some more bodies at that position. I am all for. Like, I just don't know from a trading perspective what's going to be out there at that position that you can go get. I'm all for picking somebody up off the practice squad somewhere. It literally cannot be worse. It cannot be worse with that group at pass rush right now. Why not try it?
Yeah. Yeah, so so Isaiah Mack got – Isaiah Mack was the roster cut to bring in King. I think, and he's probably going to be practice squad guy. I mean, someone could sign him, but I would imagine that, you know, he could end up on their practice squad. I know some people wanted to see Jonathan Joseph be the cut, you know, bring in King, cut Joseph. But whatever they do, if they do anything more, it'll also be interesting to see how they view that. I mean, Vic Beasley is a guy you paid a lot of money to, and so you're not gonna be quick about moving on from him. But at some point, like, he's just giving you nothing.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asks, what are the odds of the Titans bringing in a veteran pass rusher like Cam Wake or Clay Matthews? What do you think of the odds are they go get a Clay Matthews?
Cam Wake,
bring him back.
You know, Cam Wake, I thought, looked pretty good last year before he got hurt, you know?
Yeah.
That guy was
– now, what is he, 38
that
now?
That guy was great to talk to, too. Hey, I tell you what, Clay Matthews, what's he doing?
Nothing right now.
Hanging out. I swear Clay Matthews right now comes in here and does. I can't wait to, frankly. I mean, I would
do more than Vic Beasley.
Absolutely.
Why not?
I mean, it's time to get weird. You know? I mean, they're at that
point.
Bring
in those Head and Shoulders commercials in here. Why not?
I mean, hey, how old is Clay Matthews?
He's like 35. I mean, he's not as old as you think. Yeah.
Gosh. I mean, he's been banged up, right? I mean, he's
34.
34.
Even younger. See, if you'd asked me like 2 weeks ago, I looked this up yesterday. That's how I knew that. But if you'd asked me like 2 weeks ago, I would have said that Clay Matthews is like 39.
Yeah, yeah. No,
he's been in the league forever.
No, I was absolutely going to say, how close to 40 is he?
That hair is still looking great at 34. Look, like you said, maybe it is time to get weird. Maybe you do go get Clay Matthews. At this point, what could it hurt? That's a good point by the texter there.
Has he, I honestly just haven't followed him closely in terms of, like, does he still have interest in playing, or is he basically done?
I mean, he hasn't retired, so I don't know. But you would think somebody would have picked him up by
now. Yeah, right.
That's the thing. When we come back, we will bring in our former general manager, Floyd Reese. We'll discuss the NFL trading deadline. Should the Titans make more moves today? We'll find out from Floyd next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and the trade deadline. And to help us do that, we bring in former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, sponsored by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing very well. Obviously, Floyd, the Titans make a move yesterday, bringing in Desmond King from the Chargers to play at the nickel position. What did you make of that move the Titans made yesterday to shore up the secondary a little bit?
You know, I think it's probably the best of a bad situation. It sounds like the kid can cover, you know, which is what you're looking for. I think he's primarily played in the nickel. He's also a punt returner, which might be a bonus. It is growing more and more obvious, in my opinion, you know, on a weekly basis that we're playing with guys that just can't cover. You know, they can't run. And, you know, people are just picking on them, just snap after snap after snap. And, you know, you either continue the insanity and try to, you know, figure out a way that they can play when you know there's really not, or you do something about it. And I think to get somebody, get a corner that can run and sounds like he can cover is a bonus. So, I mean, we have to hope it's going to be good. Now with the COVID-19 restrictions and all, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a struggle to get him on this week, which is going to be a problem. But, you know, maybe they can. If they can, then great.
And of course, they get him, Floyd, for a 6th-round pick. I know you guys had Daniel Popper from The Athletic on talking a little bit about Desmond King, talking some about some of the, I guess, disagreements he's had with the staff there. How much of a concern do you have about that? And I guess how much of a factor do you think that was in the ultimate price tag for him?
You know, I'm sure that was part of it. You know, you don't trade a guy that has been an All-Pro for a 6th unless there are some issues. I guess he wasn't happy there. We asked him about, you know, his locker room demeanor and relationship with the players, and he made it sound like all the players just love him. You know, I mean, it was strictly a coach's thing. And as we all know, I mean, there are such things as players having disagreements with coaching or with play time or whatever the case may be. Now, him, I think, I don't know this, but I think he kind of lashed out on Twitter or something against the coaches. And of course, that won't fly here. But I think sometimes with a young player getting thrown into a new situation and him understanding all the ground rules, maybe that will make a difference. That's what you're hoping for. You know, for a 6th-rounder at this point in time, to be able to bring somebody in that has a chance to help you is probably worth the risk.
Floyd Reese on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and our segments with Floyd are sponsored by Sealmaster. Floyd, if you're in John Robinson's shoes today, do you remain active on the trading front? And if so, what would be the priority for you today as you move forward here and looking at this roster?
Yeah, the truth is, I think I'd probably be done. There are so many additional issues, and we've got so much, I want to call it dead money, but it's not dead money, but we've got investments in players that we're just not getting anything out of that, I don't know how much more of a risk you can run. It's easy now to say, I want to do something. Then all of a sudden, the draft comes around, and, you're drafting three players, and people are saying, wait a minute, I want to draft more guys. Well, really? Or it comes time to sign Jonnu Smith and sign Brown and whoever else may be out there, and you're saying, but we don't have any money. We spent it on this and that and something else. So as tantalizing as it is for some to say, yeah, change, go for it, you're going to pay the piper now or you're going to pay him later, but you will pay.
So if it does go that way, Floyd, and this is the defense moving forward, and of course, Dory Jackson, I think we all think he will make a difference whenever he gets out there. But from what you've seen of the guys trying to affect quarterbacks and rush the passer, do you see a way to something better? Do you see a solution, any light at the end of the tunnel with these guys?
From a pass rush standpoint?
Yes.
I'm not sure I do. It's the part that has been so frustrating is, we haven't gotten anything out of Clowney. We haven't gotten anything out of Beasley. And Landry's not up to par. People want to be critical about Bowen as a signal caller. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, no, let's be critical about the outside linebacker coach. We're saying, wait a minute now, we got to get something out of these guys. That's why we brought them in. And right now, we're not getting a great deal. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that if we can improve coverage, if we could get the rookie back, if we could get Dory back, and now with this new guy and Butler, that gives you four guys that can run, or it sounds like we're hoping that can run, and that will get in there and give you a chance so that if you periodically want to blitz and do some of those things, you can do that without, the quarterback lining up and looking back and seeing a single safety and looking over and seeing one of the corners that are playing now and say, hey, here comes the ball. Get ready, big guy. And just flipping it out there and having him gain 7 yards. So if you can do those kinds of things, that will help the pass rush. Now, is that going to all of a sudden turn these guys into 10-sack guys? I don't see that happening. But I think, over time, if you can, in fact, cover these guys, then it will help the rush.
Floyd, obviously, Titans fans this week, they've seen what's happened with the defense all season long, and they have been all over Mike Vrabel on social media in terms of not hiring a defensive coordinator heading into this year. What's your take on that? Have you seen – Or do you think that's been a huge reason why the defense has struggled so far this year, is not having a D coordinator, or is that maybe way too simple of a way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's kind of looking for a scapegoat. I mean, the truth is that we can't rush and we can't cover. That is a bad combination. And I don't care who's making the calls. If you can't rush and you can't cover, what do you do? And there's just not a lot out there. Calling, now this is a former play caller and, understanding a little bit. The truth is, I'm not sure there are any good calls. I'm not sure there is anything you can do that's going to help the four-man rush or anything you can do that's going to help Jackson or help, the old guy. I mean, you can't make them run faster, and your call's not going to make them faster. And so, I hate to blame players, but I mean, you can't go into a game. It's like last week, we were looking at one series, and in that series, they threw the ball to the old guy's side, 33, three times, all on third downs, I want to say, all converted, ending up with a touchdown. And that's not by accident. The young guy, even the rookie, can look out there and say, okay, there he is, here we go. And if you can do those things, what call can you make that's going to help this guy? I don't know what it is. And so it's really a problem area. And, you know, people want to make it out like I'm saying, well, Adoree's the answer. He's going to solve all the problems. No, he's not. He's not going to solve all the problems. But if you can get guys in there that can run and cover, it gives you a chance, and it gives the signal caller, the guy we're talking about, options. You know, it gives him opportunities to do something else. And that's what we're really lacking now. We just don't have a lot of those options. Once we get to a point where we can do some of those things, then I think you can evaluate the play caller and decide if, in fact, you know, who he is, first of all, and second of all, how well he's doing.
Yeah, Floyd, you had some really interesting context on the idea of, you know, having or not having an official D coordinator yesterday on Jared the GM. A lot of it, of course, with your time in New England, Bill Belichick has done this before, almost to, in some cases, sort of, you know, earn that title, you know, do the job or a lot of the job, and let's see if you can earn the title. And also, of course, when you do it this way, you know, I mean, like Shane Bowen right now, we would be talking about him this week primarily,
right?
We'd be like, get this guy is the problem, get him out. And now instead it's more like, you know, we're talking about the whole thing. But what to you, what are the advantages or disadvantages of having one, of having, you know, coordinators? Everybody knows this person's at the top and it goes from there, or not having
it. I am part of the problem we have here are the two prior coordinators. Now, who are you going to hire that's better than Dick LeBeau and Dean Pease? There's nobody out there. You know, nobody you can get. Nobody out there that's going to be better than those guys. So whoever is calling the signals is probably going to be viewed as a downgrade. And I think, and you know, what not just Vrabel, but what, you know, a few guys are doing is they don't name a coordinator. Because, I mean, ultimately everything falls in the head coach's lap. And if you don't name a coordinator, you're just going to skip that level of criticism. You know, we're going to go from, okay, the play calling's not any good. Well, who's the coordinator? Well, we don't know, so then we go right to the head coach, where it's ultimately going to end up in anyway. And I think, you know, most of the time guys will bring in the young guys and let them call, you know, signals for 2 or 3 years, and then maybe name them coordinator when you feel like they indeed are ready and willing to, you know, take on the criticism. But we're seeing this more. You know, Bill hadn't had a defensive coordinator since Dean, and then, you know, Matt Patricia took over and called signals for probably 5 years and then was named coordinator. And now doesn't have a coordinator, you know, and his son, Steve, may be making the calls. And if he is, you know, you would think, well, Bill would help his career by saying he is a coordinator unless things don't go well. Then it's not, okay, you know, look at his future. He's going to be a head coach in a year. He's going to all these things to get him out of there. He's awful. You know, we got to let Bill call him. Bill could call him better than that. So I think a lot of these guys are put in a position where they're saying, let's just wait and see. And, you know, if in a year or two everything's going good, then we'll name you and go from there. But ultimately, I mean, the chances of whoever was hired coming in and doing a better job than Dean or a better job than LeBeau, I mean, the chances are virtually zero.
Former Titans general manager and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest, sponsored by Sealmaster. Floyd, appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Floyd. Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday to clarify some of those comments about the defensive coordinator spot. We'll play those on the other side of the break and react to that. That's coming up. But first, Saturday, November 14th, support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. ESPNRadio.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We had Floyd Reese on in the last segment and talked about the defensive coordinator position, which obviously, Joe, is getting a lot of talking points this week, both in the media, Titans fan base, a lot of people looking at Vrabel and being like, dude, why didn't you hire a defensive coordinator heading into this year? The defense has been awful. We heard yesterday what Mike Vrabel had to say after the game on Sunday following the 31-20 loss to Cincinnati. He was certain the defensive coordinator position was not a problem and did not lead to the defensive struggles. He was asked again yesterday about defensive coordinator in his press conference. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
I guess that you guys are just assuming that we're in disarray. And I apologize for not being a little bit more clear. You know, Shane coordinates the meetings. You know, we all meet. It's a collaborative effort, just like it was last year. We meet on first and second down. Each coach has a phase of the, I guess, game plan breakdown, whether that be the run game, play action pass, screens, quick game, and we come together and we do that, and we make a plan that we feel like gives our players a chance that they'll be able to understand and execute. And then later on in the week, we move to third down and we move to red zone. And then we come up with that plan. We get it to the players. We try to teach the players. We practice it. We script the plays. We run the plays for them. And then, you know, during the game, we call those plays that we've game planned that the players have repped. So, again, I just was trying to explain to you that we don't have this isn't just a weekly thing where we just throw up some plays and see – and what ends up on the call sheet.
So that was what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday about the process they go through throughout the week defensively. I'm not sure a whole lot of light got shed there, but yes, I think we knew going into it they don't just go out there and randomly call plays.
And then at 7:40 we get the coffee. I put cream in my coffee at 7:47. I don't totally understand like what Mike Vrabel thinks, like we think now, if that makes sense.
Yes.
If you can think about what I'm trying to think about, what he thinks we think, I don't know.
It's a lot of thinking.
Yeah. Again, it's like we got to play better, we got to coach better, like, and then ask about the coordinator. It's like, well, really, we just got to play better.
Yeah.
Like, the coaching's good, you know. I mean, that's kind of what I get from. But of course, he would never say that. No, we don't think like they're all just playing darts in there and then just saying, hey, just throw out some random calls on a Sunday. I mean, it is just a question of why is that the convention? Why do most teams have a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator? You know, we see some head coaches who take that on either side. Yep. How often has that worked? It's worked some.
Yeah.
I think more times than not it doesn't work. I think that's why most people go this way with a D coordinator. I think Floyd makes some good points on, first of all, you're trying to replace a legend who replaced a legend. And the idea of – I mean, this week, if you're Mike Vrabel looking at the whole thing, you probably think, there's it. This is why. Because you'd all just be saying fire Shane Bowen right
yep.
now. But he won't come out and say that. Now, if he came out and said that to us, okay, well, that makes sense. I get it. I still don't know that it's the right choice, but I get that thinking, you know. Like when he said that, like you guys think we're in disarray. I'm like, first of all, on the field you are.
Yeah, that's not a thinking thing. You are in disarray on the field.
So again, that could just be all the players screwing it up. And it could have very little to do with D coordinator. And I think that's Floyd's point. And honestly, I'm going to rank it players not playing well first.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can discount D coordinator and just that whole situation as an issue, as a step down. The question, I guess, that won't be answered this year, but I bet you it gets answered in a different way next year, is how different would things be had they brought in a seasoned D coordinator to take over the defense? How different would things look now?
Yeah.
I think you could make the case that they might look better. You could also make the case that you can coordinate all you want, and if Vic Beasley has to take 40 snaps for your defense, then that's 40 snaps of someone who's not going making any plays. And Jonathan Joseph, also known as Old Guy now, 33, is a problem. So
let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, just because it's usually done that way, I guess meaning with a defensive coordinator traditionally, doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. The results are the only reason it's a question right now. Well, yeah.
Okay.
If the results were better, it wouldn't be a question. But is this part of the reason why the results aren't better? That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
Like, is not having a defensive coordinator a big part of the reason why the defense has struggled so much? That's the question I'm asking.
And I don't know if it's big. But I have a problem with zero factor, like Vrabel said Sunday. It's hard to buy that. I mean, you don't just go out and try to acquire great players in this league. You go out and try to acquire great coaches. And this was an opportunity to go find someone who could bring in new ideas and try to take over what's been a very good defense in the last few years. And the decision instead was made keep it internal and keep kind of secretive about who's doing what and not have a person here publicly who is doing this. And also for the players, someone at the top saying, I am the coordinator. I mean, the texter is right that we are questioning it. It's just like questioning a play call. When do you question it? Usually just when it doesn't work, right? Well, right now it's not working. But I don't know how you can just dismiss that, this whole thing. It's not easily dismissed.
Speaking of things on defense that aren't working, we've got a poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. On this election day, who would you rather vote off the Titans' defense, Vic Beasley or Jonathan Joseph? Neither one providing a whole lot of production right now on defense. So far, Jonathan Joseph has 52% of the vote. Vic Beasley at 48%, about 90 votes on the poll so far. Very close between Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph.
That's a good poll question. Yeah, I imagine that will be close. One of Jared Stillman's burner accounts, Cliff Hughes, tweets at me, Clowney. I know Jared's like, he's starting like 200 new accounts today to vote Clowney, 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 like right in Clowney. So real quick, my kid.
See the write-in option?
My kid broke his broke his wrist yesterday playing soccer, which sucks.
Yeah.
We're at the doctor, or actually it was after the doctor. I get a text from Jared like, hey, you know, hope Brennan's okay. You know, hey, thanks, man. By the way, your question about Beasley sucks. Like, he tried to check on my son to be nice so he could entree to unload on me on my question.
You know, I kind of respect that.
I kind of do too. But so Jared doesn't think that it's okay to even criticize Beasley because then you're taking the focus away from Jadeveon Clowney as the entire problem with football in America today. Jadeveon Clowney should be deported per Stillman.
Yeah. Maybe is there a write-in candidate option?
I mean, that would be the one.
Cliff has done that. You could probably come up with a few different options on defense, but that's what the poll question is. Jonathan Joseph or Vic Beasley so far. And the gap has narrowed even since we've talked about it. Jonathan Joseph now with 51% of the vote to 49. So it's about as close as it gets in this poll question.
Can we vote off Shane Bowen?
Ooh.
I bet you there'd be some write-ins there.
Yeah.
Now, see, if Shane Bowen were D coordinator, he'd be to win. So, I mean, like, Vrabel, like, the plan works for, you know, for having the scapegoat be all Vrabel. On the coaching side.
He said yesterday, put it all on me.
He did.
Put it all on me. He also had some news yesterday regarding a player that at times has been the best player on the team, and that is, of course, punter Brett Kern, dealing with what's, I think, assumed to be either a hand or a wrist injury of some kind. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday on Brett Kern. Oh, we don't have that clip. I have misspoke here.
But he did say that, yeah, that basically that, you know, later in the week they'll find out, but yeah, it could be a problem. I mean, obviously he got hurt, and that's related to a bad snap too.
Yes,
and he was asked about Bo Brinkley, and you know, he again, it's one of those. Could Bo Brinkley be, you know, up for review right now? Basically,
right.
And he said yes, but of course, it's always like all players are every week, all the time.
Well, here we now do have the clip with Mike Vrabel and Brett Kern. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say about Brett Kern yesterday.
Mike, how is Brett Kern? It looked like he was maybe dealing with something on his hand yesterday, later in the game.
Yeah, you know, we'll know more about Brett here later on today after we've done everything with the tests. But, you know, I think that we'll be close here at the end of the week to see, you know, how he's doing. You know, he's such a valuable member of our team. He's excellent at his job. So we'll just see how it affects his ability to not only catch the snaps, but to hold for Steven.
So you talk about a position the Titans haven't had to worry about in a very long time with Brett Kern. If he's not able to go on Sunday, both, as you heard from Braver, they're punting the ball, but also holding on field goals, going to be interesting to see what the Titans do in response to that.
Yeah, that's one of those. Well, first of all, he's just been an incredible punter. But, yeah, even those little things are important. And you talk about a field goal operation that you need every little thing to be exactly right. It's not a great situation.
When we come back, Joe's got an interesting comparison between two historically powerful college football programs that as of late really haven't been that way. We'll talk about what that is on the other side. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do, because if anyone out there is watching games and seeing an ad for the FanDuel Sportsbook, they might be thinking to themselves, so betting, legal, Tennessee? Well, it is. It's legal now, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, you win. You keep the cash. If you lose, you get the whole bet back up to $1,000 in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone. There were a few last week that certainly looked good in that regard. I'm looking at a few others this week that I think are absolutely worth that kind of a heave to the end zone. And the risk-free bets are just the beginning. They got a simple app. It's live betting on every game. They got game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. You got prop bets all through any kind of game. Last night, there were a ton of different things that you could have won on with the Bucks-Giants game to make that game more interesting, frankly. And then once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim the risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Joe so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe, J-O-E. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.